We were in the middle of talking about last time somebody sticks a milchige spoon into a fleishige pot, a pot that you're cooking meat in. So you have to be mishar against the spoon. If you stick it in twice, so the mechaber holds, if it's loy noida, meaning if you realize that you stuck it in after you already stuck it in twice, you stuck it in once, took it out, put it back in, then erst afterwards, after you already stuck it in twice, you realize that it was a milchige spoon, so then you have to have two times shishim. Let me explain what the chashash is. Basically, we're worried that the first time you stuck it in, the milk is going to come out. Then that's going to get refilled with meat taste from the meat pot. And maybe there'll be a little bit of challah that stays in the spoon. And that's going to mix with the new basar that comes into the spoon. And that's going to become basar b'challah. Then when you stick it in a second time, that basar b'challah is going to come out. So the first time you stuck it in, you need shishim against the challah. Second time you stuck it in, you're going to need shishim against the basar b'challah. And then we said that the Shach says that even according to the Mechaber, if you stick it in three times, but you won't need three times shishim. It'll still be enough to have two times shishim, because at the third, by the time you stick it in for the third time, it already has a din of shari surim, so we wouldn't be able to say chatichanasis nevela, according to the Shittas of Mechaber, that we only say chatichanasis nevela by basar b'challah. Fine. Then the Mechaber holds, but if there was yediyah b'ntayim, if you stuck it in, then you realize it was a milchig spoon, when you had shishim against it, then by mistake you stuck it in again, so then you could use the same 30 that were mevatel. The first time you stuck it in, that can be used to be mevatel the second time. So you don't have to have two times shishim, even according to the Mechaber. Then we said the Ramaz Shita is, and that's what we're going to continue on now, the Ramaz Shita is that even if it was loy noida b'ntayim, you stuck it in twice, and erst afterwards you realize that it was a milchige spoon, still it's enough to have one time shishim. Why isn't he afraid for the chashash that we said before, that the milk is going to go out? 90% of the milk is going to go out, you're going to have a little bit of milk that's staying in, and then it's going to refill with basar. And then all that basar that comes in is going to become basar b'challah. When you stick it in a second time, the basar b'challah is going to go out. Why doesn't the Ramah hold of that? So the Trumas HaDeshen says two reasons for this. One is quoted in the Shach and the Taz. One is not quoted in the Shach and Taz. And then, as we're going to say, the Prima Gadim points out, not just the Prima Gadim, the other Mefarshim, that the real reason is something is for a different reason at all, third reason. So we're going to talk about the three reasons why, according to the Ramah, it's enough to have one time Shishim. So the first reason, which is quoted in the Shach and Taz, is because the whole chashash is what? That the spoon is going to get refilled with meat taste, and that meat taste is going to become basar b'challah from the little bit of milk that stayed in the spoon. So the second time you stuck it in, you need shishim against what? You need shishim against the meat taste that was absorbed in the spoon that became basar b'challah. That whole shita, that the meat taste could become basar b'challah, the meat taste that goes into the spoon could become basar b'challah, not everybody agrees to that. The Rashba holds that could happen, but the Ramban is of the opinion that the taste that's inside a spoon, kosher taste, can't become asr. Meaning, the taste of a treif of food could make a kosher food asr. I have a treif of food, and I cook it with a kosher food, the taste that goes, even if I throw out the treif of food afterwards, the taste that's coming from the treif of food going into the kosher food could make the kosher food asr. Taste of a treif of food is treif. But that's when it goes into a kosher food. A kosher food could become treif if it receives treif a taste. But a kosher taste, if it's not the food itself, it's just the taste of a kosher food, how could you have taste of a kosher food and not have the food itself? If the taste is absorbed inside a kli. So the taste of a kosher food can't become treif. So let me repeat that again. Taste of a treif of food could make something kosher usser. That's why if I cook treif in a pot, and then I throw out the treif, and then I cook kosher in the pot, will the kosher food that I'm cooking in the treif pot become asr? From the treif taste that's inside the pot? Yeah. The treif taste that's inside the pot will come out of the pot and make the kosher food asr. Kosher food could become asr from treif taste. But kosher taste can't become asr from treif food. That means if I have a pot that I cook kosher in it, and the kosher taste went into the pot, now I cook basar in a pot, and the kosher taste went into the pot. Now I cook milchigs in the pot. So yeah, the basar that's in the pot could come out and make the milk basar b'chalav, so therefore everything will turn into basar b'chalav. But the milk, theoretically, I'm saying in this case, it wouldn't really make a difference because the basar is coming out and making the milk into basar b'chalav. But if you just want to conceptually understand, it's not that the milk is going into the pot and making the meat taste that's in the pot asr, because meat taste cannot become asr, only meat itself. So meat taste could make milk asr, but meat taste that's in the pot can't become asr. So that's what's happening over here. You had milk taste in the spoon. That milk taste comes out into the meat. Could it make the meat asr? Yeah. So you have to have shishim against the milk taste that's in the spoon. But then you're going to tell me that what happened? The meat taste went into the spoon, and that meat taste turned into basar b'chalav inside the spoon. Meat taste can turn into basar b'chalav. Meat could turn into basar b'chalav, not meat taste. This is known as ein iser balua oiser heter balua. Treifa taste, treifa food, can turn a kosher taste. Heter balua means it's just a kosher taste that's inside the walls of a kli. Treif cannot turn a kosher taste into non-kosher. So therefore, that milk, that meat, sorry, that was reabsorbed into the spoon can turn into basar b'chalav. So that's why when you stick it in a second time, there is no more iser than the original milk that you had in the spoon. So that whole chashash that the mechaber said is baseless. Oh, chashash that the milk is going to come out replaced with basar, which that basar is then going to turn into basar b'chalav. That basar taste cannot turn into basar b'chalav. Only basar could turn into basar b'chalav. Or if you want to rephrase it, this is a fancy way of saying that we don't say chaticha nasas nevela by balua b'kli. Only a food could become a nevela. But balua in a kli cannot become a nevela. This is the shita of the Ramban. So do we paskin like this? So if you remember, we learned in Siman Tzadik Beis, if, hey, we don't paskin like this. We paskin that if I have a fleishig pot and I'm cooking fleishigs in it, and then a tipas challah falls on the outside of the pot, if it falls against the reikon, and then I pour the meat out, I have to have shishim pamim shishim. It's not enough to have shishim against the drop. I have to have 60 times 60. Why? Because that drop that was absorbed in the kli made all the meat taste that's in the kli basar b'chalav. So now I have to have shishim against all that basar b'chalav taste that's in the pot. So in other words, what are we assuming? We're assuming that the meat taste that was in the pot did become basar b'chalav, not like what we're saying now. The meat taste could turn into nevela. But over there we're paskening l'chumra. Over here, so says the Shachan Taz, over here the Ramah is willing to rely on the opinion that's Mekel. Why is he willing to rely on the opinion that's Mekel? When the tipa fell on the side of Tzadik Beis Sif Hei. So even though we don't really paskin like that, we paskin that the meat taste could become nevela. So what are we saying over here that the meat taste can't become nevela? Shachan Taz saying so. We paskin the chumra, but in this case, this is one of the reasons we could be mekel. This is one of the reasons, because there's more reasons. What's the more reasons?
What's that got to do with needing only one shishim?
No, see, the second time, why did you need the second time shishim? It's not a second spoon, it's the same spoon. Why did you need a second time shishim? Because the basar taste that got absorbed in the spoon became basar b'chalav in the spoon. Basar taste can't turn into basar b'chalav. That's reason number one. We're going to rely, the Inyan Zer, we're going to rely on the Ashita that holds that Balua Bekli is not Nasis Nevela. Another reason we could be Mekel is maybe the Balua Bekli could become a Nevela. Maybe if I cook milk in a Fleishig pot, so it's not just becoming Basar B'chalov because the meat is going into the milk. Maybe it's also basar b'chalav because the milk is going into the meat that's inside the pot. Maybe. Maybe the balua and the kli could become nevela. Could become asr. The thing is, in our example, you have shishim against the milchig spoon. The question was if you need a second time shishim, right? That's the machleks in the Chabar Amor. But shishim, you had, when you stuck in the milchig spoon, let's say it was one kazayis big, you had 60 kazaisim of meat in the pot. So that therefore the milk that came out of the spoon was batal. What are you saying? What happened? The meat went into the spoon. When the meat goes into the spoon, because the spoon is inside the pat of meat, so the meat that goes into the spoon from the pat is still counted, is still considered part of the whole tafshel of meat. So that meat that goes into the spoon, while the spoon is inside the food, you still have shishim against the milk. So that milk can't make the meat basar b'chalav. Let me draw it for you. Just to visualize it. Let's say this is some chalav taste that stayed in. Originally it was full completely of chalav. Then most of the chalav came out and it was replaced with basar tam. So now, the chashash was that when it refilled, when the spoon refilled with basar tam, there was a little bit of chalav tam, but you didn't have shishim. You didn't have shishim in the whole pot. You have shishim against a little bit of chalav. You have shishim against the whole spoon, right? But maybe in the meat that went into the spoon, this meat, you don't have 60 times the chalav that's in the spoon. Therefore, this chalav can make all this meat flavor, basar b'chalav. So when you stick it in a second time, you need shishim again for this basar flavor that turned into basar b'chalav. That's what's happening. Says the Trumas Hadeshin, when you're sticking it in, it gets refilled with meat flavor. This meat can't become basar b'chalav yet because this meat is still considered part of the whole pot. Since altogether I have shishim against a little bit of milk, so this meat can't become basar b'chalav. Because I have shishim. What are you going to say when I take the spoon out? Now I just have a spoon, which has a little bit of milk and a lot of meat, but not shishim against the milk. At this point, the milk could make the meat usser once I take it out. Because while it's in, I have shishim altogether. While it's in, the meat that goes into the spoon is still considered part of the rest of the meat pot. That's called mekusher. The meat flavor that went into the spoon is still connected to all the rest of the meat that's in the pot. So it's not becoming basar b'chalav. So what do you want to say? When I take out the spoon, it could become basar b'chalav. Because now it's not connected to the rest of the pot. Remember we said like iser davuk? When I have, let's say I have a piece of chalev touching a piece of meat, right? So when it's inside the pot, let's say it's not davuk. Let's not use the example of davuk. If I have a chalev falls into a pot and I have shishim against it, so it's mutter, right? What if I would ladle out some, a scoop with one piece of meat and together with the chalev, separate it from the rest of the pot? So now it could become aser because it's separate from the rest of the pot. So now, when you take it out of the pot, maybe it could become basar b'chalav, because now you don't have shishim against the milk. So what's the answer to that? Once you take it out of the pot, it's called a klisheni. So it can't mix. The chalav can't mix with the basar anymore. It's not hot enough to mix. So when it's in the pot, I have 60 against the milk. When it's out of the pot, and I don't have 60, but it's not hot enough to mix together. So it never gets a chance. This basar tam that goes into the spoon never gets a chance to become basar b'chalav. That's the second reason. Is that clear? In summary, when the spoon is inside the fleishige pat, so the meat taste that goes into the spoon. In short, this reason is saying that the meat taste that went into the spoon never had a chance to become basar b'chalav. Why? Because while it was in the pot, I had shishim altogether against the little bit of chalav that was in the spoon. When I take it out of the pot, so the meat flavor that's in the spoon is separate from the rest of the meat flavor, it also doesn't have a chance to become basar b'chalav, because at that point that I take it out of the pot, it's out of the pot. It's a klisheni. So it doesn't have a chance to become Maser B'Cholov. If you remember, the Taz in the end of Siman Tzadik Beis was discussing this inyan. So when you take out a ladle with food, then the Taz said that's called a Kli Rishon because it has food in it. But when you take out an empty ladle, so then it lost its status of a Kli Rishon. So that's what another thing we could rely on, says the Ramah. Well, it's coming from Truma Sedeshin. There's another reason to be lenient when it comes to when you stick in the spoon twice. Now, the Shach points out, it's clear so far? Two reasons to be makel. Shach points out, what would happen if it's a piece of meat? Let's continue with the example, a piece of cheese, because we're talking about a milch in a spoon to fleishig a pot. So what happens if a piece of cheese falls into a pot of soup, and you cheese it against the cheese? Then let's say you take out the cheese, and you throw it back in. You need two times shishim, or you only need one time shishim against the piece of cheese? Huh? Why? Well, it can give out more flavor than the whole, let's say the cheese is one kazayis. It can give out more flavor than one kazayis. But what could happen? The flavor of the meat, of the milk could leave the cheese, could be replaced by meat flavor. That meat flavor could become Basar B'Cholov. Now when it falls in again, I have to have shishim against Basar B'Cholov flavor. So what are we paskin over there? The Ramah paskin's only one-time shishim, just like the kaf. Just like the kaf I stick in twice, you only need one-time shishim. So too, when the cheese falls in twice, I have to have one-time shishim. Now, do any of the two reasons that we said up until now, could any of them work for the block of cheese? No. What was the first reason? That taste can't become only a food. So over here, it's in a food, yeah? What's the other reason? That when you take it out, it becomes a klisheni. That's an empty pot when you take out, it becomes a klisheni. A food stays until you put it inside a klisheni. Okay? So therefore, the reason doesn't apply, yet there are must-still paskins, that even by a food, you'll only need one time shishim. So what could be the hesber? So the Prima Gadim and others say the hesber is a different reason. What's the second iser? We said it in the shach. You need a pen? We said it in the shach. It was a different context. We were explaining in Shita Samachaber, the Machaber made a difference if it was noida or loy noida. Loy noida, you need twice shishim. And noida, you need one time shishim. Why? Because the first kaf was already batal. And that same shishim that was mevatal the first kaf could be mevatal the second kaf. Because through when it was noida hataruvis, then bittul kicked in. So the first kaf was already batal. So the shach asked on the mechaber that there's a principle called what? Choyzer v'neir. Which means that even though the first one was already batal, but when the second iser falls in, it wakes up the first iser. So it's like both iserim fell in the same time. So we don't say this lahalacha. So why was the mechaber willing to say choyzer? Why was the mechaber willing to say kama batal that the first kaf was already disappeared, was already batal, and now it's only one kaf? Why was the mechaber willing to say it? So we explain because what? That the second iser is the meat that became basar b'chalav. Now that meat will go back out into the kosher meat. So treifa meat and kosher meat is called min b'minoy. What happens when you have treifa meat mixing with kosher meat? What's the sheer bittel? Min b'minoy? Min ha-toyrat z'batol b'roiv. Shishim is only made the rabbanon, right? Min b'she'enim minoy, when let's say milk will fall into meat, so it's b'shishim, b'nesinas tam. But min b'minoy, there's no taste. Treif and meat will never give a taste into kosher meat because it tastes exactly the same. So therefore, min ha-toyra we rely on the regular din bittel, that a majority. All you need is a simple majority. Roiv. Midrabanan, you need shishim. Why do you need shishim midrabanan? Because this time it was min b'minoy. Next time it might be min b'she'enim minoy. So because by min b'she'enim minoy, you need shishim min ha-toyra. So therefore, min b'minoy, you also need shishim. It's a gzeira mishim'enim minoy. When do we make a gzeira of min b'minoy because of enim minoy? That's when iser is coming from the outside. if some treifa meat is falling into kosher meat, so this time it's min b'minoy. Next time it might not be treifa meat and kosher meat. Next time it might be milk and meat. So since by milk and meat you really have to have shishim, minat Torah, so too, even treifa meat and kosher meat, chachamim also require shishim. It's a gzeira mishamein aminoy. That when does it make sense to make a gzeira? That's when the iser is falling in mibachutz. So this time it's mibaminoi, nevela and kasher. Next time it could be mimishein aminoi. But if the iser is coming from the heter itself, in this case, when I'm sticking in a spoon, I'm not sticking in two separate spoons, one milchigs, one basar b'chalav. Then I could say, well, this time the spoon was basar b'chalav spoon. Next time it might be a second spoon of milk. So that's why I have to have two times shishim. I'm sticking in the same spoon twice, right? It's the same spoon. So where's the iser coming from? How does a spoon become more aser? It's becoming aser from the pot itself. Some of the meat that's in the pot is becoming treif. And then it's going back into the pot. So since the iser is being supplied from the heter itself, that could never be mimish ein aminoi in this case. If I'm sticking in two separate spoons, yeah? So sometimes it could be min b'minoi, meaning sometimes it could be a spoon that has treifa meat going into meat, and sometimes it could be min mishein aminoi. Sometimes it could be two spoons of milk. So you tell me that even though this time it's min b'minoi, even though this time it's treifa meat going into kosher meat, you should still have to have two times shishim because next time it could be milk, and milk you'll have the taste. Masha'enkein, in this case where it's the same spoon that's going back in, and the iser, the kosher, the treifa meat is coming from the kosher meat, that can never be different than the meat. It'll always be mimimine with the meat, since it's just some of that meat is becoming not kosher. So since it could always be mimimine, we don't make the gzeir mishum ein amina, and we rely on the original deraisa of bittul b'roiv. So that's why you don't have to have a second time shishim. That's the real beer, says the Prima Gadim and other Achrayim. Because the second iser, the iser that's in the second chiva, is treifa meat, meaning it's meat that turned into basar b'chalav. It's meat that became treif that's going into the kosher meat. So that's min b'minoi, so min atar, that's batul b'roif. So normally we'll say you anyway have to have shishim against it. But when do we say you have to have shishim against it? When it's new iser falling in, then we're going to say you have to have shishim against it. But if it's not the new iser falling in, if it's the same iser falling in twice, it's being supplied from the kosher meat, then we don't make this gzeira. That's the real reason. That reason, says the Prima Gadim, that applies even to the block of cheese that fell in twice. Because it's the same block of cheese falling in twice, and the iser is some of the meat itself going into the cheese. So therefore, we don't make the gzeira. It's min b'minoi, and in this type of min b'minoi, we don't make the gzeira. So this answer, in short, is that the reason why you don't have to have a second time shishim is because the iser that's in the second spoon, not the second spoon, the iser that's in the second tchiva, is min b'minoi, it's treifa meat going into kosher meat. Now, although normally treifa meat into kosher meat, even though it's min b'minoi, you still have to have shishim. In this case, where it's not a different iser, it's the very same iser falling in twice, the chachamim did not make the gzeira, and they left it that it's enough to have just roif. So that's why you don't have to have a second time shishim. And this reason works even for when the piece of food falls in twice. That is the shita of the Ramah, that even if it goes in twice, you don't have to have two times shishim. Sif Gimel. Did we read the Ramah inside? Let's read the Ramah inside. It's a very short Ramah, it's one line. The beer of the Ramah was long. So read the Ramah. The Mechaber said when you stick it in twice and it's lo yinoy, that you have to have two times shishim. And the Ramah says, V'yeshayimrim, v'sagibu pamacha shishim, v'cheinoyegim, and that's the minig. It's enough to have even one time shishim, even though you stick it in twice. What if you would stick in two separate spoons, two milchiga spoons? One milchiga spoon, take it out, put it aside, and then you use another milchiga spoon to stick in. And even according to Ramah, you have to have two times shishim. It's because you're sticking in the same spoon twice, where we had those reasons, they're never getting a chance to become aser, or that since it's min b'minoi, since it's really treifim meat going into kosher meat, so in this particular type of case, we're going to be mekel. Siv gimel. Em yeshit min levatel akaf. Let's say you stick in a milchigas spoon into the flesh pot and you have shishim against the spoon. Then, what's the halacha? It says, the mechaber hakdei revatavshil mutarim. The pot of meat and the meat, the meat dish and the pot of meat are mutter, because the milk taste that's coming out of the spoon is bottle, so it's not affecting the meat and the pot. Abel ha-kaf asura, but the kaf, the spoon, is asur. Why is the spoon asur? Because the meat is going into the spoon, meaning whatever milk flavor comes out of the spoon and mixing with the meat, that's batel because I have so much meat. But the meat taste that's going into the spoon is making the spoon asur. What's this similar to? What happens when you have a pot of milk and a little piece of meat falls in? So if I have shishim in the milk against the piece of meat, the milk is mutter, but the piece of meat is asur. Why? Because the meat is not giving a taste into the milk, but the milk is giving a taste into the meat. So therefore, so same thing's happening over here. The pot, the meat pot, is mutter, but the spoon is asur, because the meat is giving a taste in the spoon. What is asur to use the spoon with? Says the mechaber, beinim basar, beinim chalav. You can't use it sai for basar, sai for chalav, because it became basar b'chalav. Could you use it for parv? No. What if you use it for parv? Is it mutter b'di'avid? If it's ben yoimai,
no.
It's a ben yoimai. It's asur b'di'avid. Why? Because it became basar b'chalav. Yeah, clear, says the shach. The kaf became asur, and it's going to be able to make everything asur. So even though the Shulchan Aruch says you can't use it for chalav or for basar, afilu b'di'avid they saras im chazir v'tafchu bein b'basar bein b'chalav. Even though the Shulchan Aruch says, when the Shulchan Aruch says if you used it for basar and for chalav, it's going to make it asr, it's not only basar and for chalav. Even if you use it for shayin for him, it's going to make it asr, because the spoon became basar b'chalav. So if you cook basar b'chalav in a pot, then afterwards you cook vegetables in the pot. So there's an isr taste. There's basar b'chalav taste in the pot. That basar b'chalav taste is going to go into the vegetables, make it asr. That's what's happening over here. The spoon became basar b'chalav, and now whatever you use the spoon for, it's going to make it asr. If it's what? If, like you said, if it's a ben yoimai, kol zman jibas yoimai, as long as it's a ben yoimai. But if it's after a ben yoimai, meaning let's say became basar b'chalav on Sunday, and on Tuesday you used it, so then it's going to be mutter b'di'avid. Doesn't even not just for vegetables. It'll be mutter for the yaved, milk or meat. Doesn't make a difference. Because, be mutter b'di'avid no matter what you used it for. Because it's already past, the basar b'chalav taste that's in the spoon is pagum. Doesn't have the strength. When that taste goes into your kosher food, won't make it asr. The chatchili, you can't use it till you kasher it. Because we make exera eina ben yoyim la'ata bas yoyim. But b'di'avid, it doesn't make your food asr. So I gave an example that there's no question about it. I gave an example that it became basar b'chalav on Sunday night, meaning Sunday morning you used it for milk. That's how it became a milchiga spoon. Sunday morning was when you stirred hot cocoa with the spoon. Sunday night you by mistake stuck it into the chalent. You were warming up leftover chalent Friday, Sunday night. Let's do an easier example. You're warming up the chicken soup on Sunday night, and then you stirred the chicken soup with a milchiga spoon. So it became basar b'chalav Sunday night. Tuesday morning, you used it for whatever you used it for. It doesn't make a difference if you used it for yarakis. It doesn't make a difference if you used it for basar or for chalav. It's going to be mutter. Because it became basar b'chalav on Sunday night. So by Tuesday morning, that basar b'chalav taste is already pagum, and it can't affect your kosher food. What happens, says the shach, if I use it Monday afternoon? Monday afternoon is 24 hours after the milk, but it's less than 24 hours after the meat. So says the Shach, if you stick it into more milk, there's no question it's going to make the milk aser. Because I just used it Sunday night for meat, and now Monday afternoon I'm using it for milk, it's for sure aser, because it's a ben yoimai of meat. But what happens if Monday afternoon I stick it in to more meat? So the Shach says the Bach holds that it's going to be mutter, because the milk flavor that's in the spoon is already gone. Because the milk flavor was used Sunday morning for milk. Okay? So the milk flavor by Monday afternoon is already gone. So therefore, when I use it for more meat now, it's not going to become basar b'chalav. It's going to be okay. So I want to clarify something. This Shita Sabach is only discussing our example where when you stuck the milchige spoon into the pot of the meat, there was shishim in the meat against the spoon. If there wasn't shishim in the meat against the spoon and the spoon became basar b'chalav, so everybody, and the basar became basar b'chalav, now that basar goes back into the spoon, it's for sure considered Monday afternoon is still within 24 hours from basar b'chalav. Because it was a fresh basar b'chalav taste on Sunday night. The milk went out, turned the meat into basar b'chalav. Now that basar b'chalav went back into the spoon. So I have 24 hours from Sunday night. So Monday afternoon, it's still going to be asr. The Bach is saying that if you had shishim in the meat, so the meat didn't become basar b'chalav, the only thing that became basar b'chalav was what? The milk that stayed in the spoon. The milk that went out of the spoon mixed with the basar disappeared. Didn't make the basar b'chalav, because he had shishim. The chashash is that maybe some milk didn't leave. And that milk that stayed in the spoon became basar b'chalav from the basar that went into the spoon. So therefore, says the Bach, after 24 hours, that milk, once that milk was sitting in the spoon for 24 hours, the milk is gone. So what are you left with? What's in the spoon? By Monday afternoon, what's left in the spoon? Plain basar. Plain basar. How could plain basar make basar asar?
Wouldn't the basar arouse the original taste of the chalav?
It can't, because, in other words, if you're right. That's what we said before. If you didn't have shishim in the basar, and the basar became basar b'chalav, the milk came out, made the basar b'chalav, then that went back in, yeah? So because the milk came out, it gets refreshed. Because the milk came out and mixed with the basar, it gets refreshed. So now I have fresh basar b'chalav. Now it's as if I cooked basar b'chalav on Monday night. If I took some chalav, mixed it with some basar, and cooked it Sunday night. So it's no question that it's 24 hours from Sunday night. But if the meat had shishim against the milk, so the meat didn't become basar b'chalav, whatever milk came out into the meat is batal. So how is the spoon staying asr? Because maybe the milk didn't come out of the spoon. That's the whole chashash over here. The only reason the spoon, if all the milk came out of the spoon, you kashered the spoon. Because you had shishim. The chashash is that maybe the milk did not come out. We have to be choshish both sides, right? You have to have shishim because maybe the taste doesn't come out. But even if you do have shishim, maybe the taste did not come out. And therefore the spoon became basar b'chalav. So the whole chashash is what? Is that the milk stayed in the spoon. If the milk stayed in the spoon, what happens after 24 hours of the milk staying in the spoon? Milk turns pogum. So comes after Monday afternoon, what do you have left in the spoon? Just basar. So therefore, why should basar make basar asar? That's Shitas HaBach. The Shach says, no, got it all wrong. Once the basar came basar b'chalav, now the basar has a life of its own. The basar could make the other basar asar. Regular basar, kosher basar, can't make other basar asar, obviously. But basar b'chalav basar, once the basar became basar b'chalav, even though theoretically the chalav already disappeared, kind of, because it became pogum, so like it's disappeared, but still the basar should have the koyach to make the other basar asar, because that basar already became basar b'chalav. So therefore, says the Shach, we count from when it became, from when you used the basar. Therefore, in our example, they used it for milk Sunday morning, stuck it into meat. Sunday night. Even though you had shishim in the meat Sunday night, you stuck it into more meat on Monday afternoon, it's still going to make the other meat aser. And that is how we paskin, like the shach. You need 24 hours from when you stuck it into the meat, even though you had shishim in the meat. Again, I'm clarifying, if you didn't have shishim in the meat, everybody would agree that you don't have to have, that you have to have shishim from the meat. Because then you created brand new basar b'chalav inside, in the food. But if you had shishim, so the only basar b'chalav was created where? Only in the pot, not in the food. Then there's room to argue, says the Bach, that because the milk disappeared after 24 hours, you only left with meat. So therefore, the meat doesn't pose a problem to other meat. And on that, the Shach says, no, even in this case, once the meat becomes basar v'chalav, you have to have 24 hours from the meat. From when you stuck it into the meat. The first opinion is the Bach. It's quoted in the Shach. The Shach says he's wrong. And the Taz points out what we were saying before, that even though in this case was that you had shishim in the meat against the milk, yeah? So l'chayra, if you didn't have shishim, I understand. The milk comes out, mixes with the meat, becomes basar b'chalav, and that basar b'chalav goes back into the spoon. That's why the spoon becomes aser. But if you did have shishim, which means all the milk that came out into the spoon was bottled in the spoon, you did not have basar b'chalav in the food, so why is the spoon staying aser? So the Taz is explaining, because maybe you didn't get out the milk from the spoon. And the meat went into the spoon and made the milk taste that's in the spoon, basar b'chalav. No, that's in the, what I just said over now is the Taz Gimel. He's explaining why, even though you had shishim, so the food didn't become basar b'chalav, so why is the spoon asr? So he's explaining, because maybe the milk did not come out. If you kasher the spoon, that's something else. But this is not called kashering. Therefore, maybe the milk did not come out. And therefore, the spoon became basar b'chalav. Okay, let's continue the sif in the Shulchan Aruch. Right, in the Shach, he refers to it, he references it, and he says he's wrong. Ve'im ein shishim, I'm continuing the Mechaber in the end of Gimel. Ve'im ein shishim, if you don't have shishim in the meat against the spoon, then hakoy laser. Then, not just the spoon is basar b'chalav, but then even the meat and the pot is basar b'chalav. Right? Because the meat in the pot becomes basar b'chalav, and then that makes the pot basar b'chalav. So everything becomes asr mishum basar b'chalav. If you have shishim in the meat against the spoon, so then the meat and the pot are mutter, and only the spoon is basar b'chalav. But if you don't have shishim, so then everything is basar b'chalav. The spoon, the food, and the pot. So therefore, what's the halacha of the food? Basar b'chalav. So you can eat it. But because it's basar b'chalav, it's more, it's not just you can't eat it, but also you can't, well, you did it already. Well, you can't give it to your dog. You can't have enough from it. Like it says over here, Hakoil, v'im ein shishim hakoil asar b'hano. The food is asar b'hano. And therefore, you can't give it to your dog. And the Taz says, not only can't you give it to your dog, you can't even give it to a stray dog. It's also called benefit. When something's asr b'hano, you can't feed it to anybody. Even though you're not having a direct benefit from feeding it to this person, still, if it's asr b'hano, you can't feed it to anybody. What do? You throw it in the Beis HaKisei. It's a whole big shaila if you could even bury it. I'm sorry, if you could burn it. You have to bury it. Okay, so the ma'isa, you have to throw it, you flush it down the toilet. That's called burying. And then the Mechaber says, Afilu ha-kdeira. The Kdeira is also Aser B'hana. That's Pasha Pshan in the Mechaber, that even the Kdeira is Aser B'hana. Ach, but what does it mean, the Kdeira is Aser B'hana? I can't cook food in it. If the Kdeira would be, if the Kdeira would have trefa taste in it, would I be able to cook in the Kdeira? No, right? I can't cook kosher food in the Kedera if it has treifa taste. So what does it make a difference that if it's basar b'chalav, the Kedera is also asr b'hana? So maybe it means that you can't, even not to cook in the pot. You want to just put apples, cold apples in the pot. You can't use the pot anymore. It's a basar mechalef pot. Says the mechaber, no, there's nothing wrong with that. Because when you put cold things in the pot, when you put apples in the pot, are you benefiting from the basar mechalef that's in the pot, or are you only benefiting from the metal of the pot? Then you're only benefiting from the metal of the pot. That's what's holding the apples, right? If you're going to cook a food in the pot, then you're benefiting from the basar mechalef. The taste is going into your food. But if you put something cold there, you're not getting from the taste of the pot. That you can still use, even though the pot became basar b'hanah, but it doesn't prevent you from being allowed to put things in the pot, cold things in the pot. That's what he says. You're allowed to put fruits or other cold, maybe even cold liquids, because then you're not having enough from the guf iser. You're not benefiting from the basar b'chalav, because no taste is coming out. Now, let's see if we can take this a step further. Once we learn this yesoid, that I'm allowed to put apples in the pot, because that's not cool, I'm not having benefit from the basar b'chalav that's in the walls of the pot. So what would happen, says the Shachan, so says the Taz, if I want to use this pot to cook not a food, just to cook shampoo? The olden days they used to cook to heat up water with dirt, ashes, whatever. So make up says shampoo. What if I want to heat up that water in the pot, not a food in the pot? Would that be okay? So says the Taz, that this nekud is not a machlekes. That's okay. Because it's not a food, you're also not considered having hanof in the basar b'chalav. You're cooking in the pot. That's using the metal of the pot, right? The taste of the basar b'chalav, so if you're cooking a food and the taste is going into the food, then it may be called having hanof in the basar b'chalav. But if you're cooking a non-food in the pot, so the taste of the basar b'chalav is irrelevant to the shampoo, unless you want to have basar b'chalav flavored shampoo, which I don't think you do. So therefore, it's also not called having hanah from the basar b'chalav, because the taste is only an inyan when it's going into food. So this is okay. This is okay, the kulayama. Then we have, so now we have two steps. I can use the pot to put apples in it, even though it was basar b'chalav pot. And number two, I can even cook if it's not a food. If I did cook a food, then I for sure l'chadchila can cook kosher food in this pot. Because not only it's going to be asr b'achila, but cook vegetables in a basar b'chalav pot, those vegetables are asr. By the way, do those vegetables become asr b'hana? If something gets a taste of basar b'chalav, meaning when I mix basar b'chalav together, so the resulting basar b'chalav is asr b'hana. I can't use that piece of basar b'chalav to feed my dog. What happens when I have a basar b'chalav pot and I cook vegetables in the basar b'chalav pot? Do the vegetables, I can't eat those vegetables because it tastes like basar b'chalav. Am I allowed to feed those vegetables to my dog? So the answer is yes. What are you, you're not having hanah from basar b'chalav? The thing doesn't become. Well, if it tastes better because it has basar b'chalav, because it has a basar b'chalav taste, so and you want to sell it, let's say, to a goy, and the goy is going to pay more because it tastes like basar b'chalav, so then obviously you can charge extra for because it has a better basar b'chalav taste. So you have to reduce the price. But once you reduce the price, the food is not asr b'hanah. That's the way we paskin. The Prima Gadim doesn't talk about it clearly over here. That's what the Prima Gadim paskins. So the basar b'chalav is asr b'hanah. The pot is, well, the Mechaber says it's asr b'hanah, but so far we're showing that even if it's a ben yoyma, if I want to put something cold in it, it's okay. If I want to warm up shampoo, even if it's a ben yoyma, it's also okay. So now comes the question, and if I cook a food in it, so even without the halacha of being asr b'hanah, it makes the food asr, but yet the food doesn't become asr b'hanah. So the question is, what happens after it's Eina Ben Yoimai? I have a basar b'chalav kli. I cooked basar b'chalav in a kli. Then 24 hours later, I cooked vegetables in a kli. Or anything. Basar or chalav or vegetables. So the halach is that the food is what? Mutter. Right? That's what the Mechaber said. If it's Eina Ben Yoimai, it's mutter. even though it became basar b'challah, but if it's ain't a ben yomi, it's mutter. So now the question is this called, do we say that I had hanah from basar b'challah over here? So the food is going to be mutter b'achila, because the tam basar b'challah that went into the food is a tam pogum, so it can't answer the food. But I had hanah from a basar b'challah pat. I cooked a food. When I cooked a shampoo, okay, you want to tell me it's not a food, that's not called having hanah from a taste of basar b'challah. But here I already cooked the food. So the Ramah says, so what do you mean you cooked the food? Are you having hanah from the taste of basar b'challah? If the taste of the basar b'challah is pogum, you're not having hanah from the taste of the basar b'challah. It's ruining your food. So it's also not called having hanah from the taste of the basar b'challah. That's the same thing like warming shampoo. Same way you're allowed to warm shampoo because you're not having hanah from the basar b'challah because it's not a food. So even if it's a food, but if it's after it's 24 hours, if the taste is pogum, you're also not having hanah from the basar b'challah. And the Marshal says, no. Somehow that's still considered, because it's a food, it's not like when you're cooking the shampoo, when you're cooking a food, even though it's ein ben yomi and the tam is taka pogum, but you still benefited, you still use the basar b'challah pot to cook a food, and you have to get rid of whatever benefit, whatever hanah you had from using the basar b'challah pot, you have to throw that amount of money into the flush it down the toilet. So whatever benefit you had from using the basar b'challah pot, you have to flush down the toilet. That's called mashlech dmei agdeira nar. Then you could eat the food. So you have a basar b'challah pot to warm shampoo. You could do it even when it's a ben yomi. Or the same thing to put fruits in it if it's cold. You could use it in such a basar b'challah pot again. Also, even if it's a ben yomi, there's no taste coming out. If it's ain't a ben yomi, I'm saying, but to cook a food is obviously asr. And if you did, the food's asr b'achila. If it's ain't a ben yomi, so then the food is going to be mutter b'achila, because the tam basar b'challah is pogum, and it's machlokes between the Ramah and the Marshal, if you have to throw away the value, the benefit that you had from cooking in a basar b'challah pot. According to the Ramah says there's nothing you have to throw out. There is no benefit. What would be the benefit of cooking in a basar b'challah pot? Receiving the basar b'challah flavor. Well, the basar b'challah flavor, in this case, that it's pogum, is a bad flavor. So you're not benefiting. So what exactly hanah do you have to, what's the value of the hanah that you're throwing in the garbage? And the Marshal says, no. You use a basar b'challah pot. That benefit of using a basar b'challah pot, you have to throw that amount in the garbage, and then you could eat it. I don't know. Let's go to Sif Dalad. Finish up. Almost done. Dalad's easy Sif. Im ein hakaf ben yoimoy. If the spoon is not a ben yoimoy, it means to say, I used it for milk Sunday morning, but instead of sticking it into the meat Sunday night, what we discussed so far in Sif Gimel was I used it Sunday morning for milk, and I stuck it into the meat Sunday night. So it became basar b'challah. And the shayla was, what happens if I... what's the halach in terms of using it afterwards? What's the halach in terms of using it for basar, for challah? What's if I did use it? What's if I used it after 24 hours, within 24 hours? But, says the Mechaber, if I used it for basar Sunday, for challah Sunday morning, and it didn't stick it into basar Sunday night, I stuck it into basar Monday afternoon, so it never became basar b'challah. That basar is mutter. Because the challah taste that's in the spoon from Sunday morning, when it comes Monday afternoon, that taste is already pogum. So then, hakdir v'tafshel mutarim. So then the tafshel, the fleishige tafshel from Monday afternoon, and the fleishige pat is mutter, even if you don't have shishim against the spoon. Because the milk taste coming out of the spoon is pogum. It does not affect the meat or the meat pat. V'hakaf osur. But the kaf, the milchige spoon, is osur l'chatchila. Beinim basar, beinim challah. This kaf, I can't use, not for milk, not for meat. Why? Because again, Sunday morning it got milchigs. Monday afternoon, it got a bli of leishigs, so therefore I can't use it for milk now because it just got a bli of leishigs. I can't use it for meat, for more meat, because it still has the bli of milchigs from Sunday morning. So this spoon, although it never really became basar b'chalav, if I'm going to use this spoon for yarakas, it's not going to make the yarakas aser. Because it's not a treifa spoon, but it has milk in it and meat in it. So this is like a milchiga spoon and a fleshiga spoon with asachas, yet it never became basar b'chalav, and therefore, I can't use it for milk or for meat, but for shar dvar me'ikir adin, I'd be allowed to use it. And not only that, we said that anyway, there's a minig that you have to kasher the spoon. You can't use it for yarakas. But me'ikir adin, I could use it for yarakas. But for milk and meat, I can't use it l'chadchila. What happens b'diyevet that I used it for milk or for meat? So then the Mechaber says, b'diyevet einoy seras, b'diyevet won't make it aser, kivan shelo hayo sabas yoma, because it wasn't a ben yoma. So what does he mean? B'diyevet that I used it for milk or for meat? I used it for milk Sunday morning, meat Monday afternoon. Monday night, I used it for milk or for meat. Is it going to be mutter or aser? It depends if I use it for milk or meat. If I used it for milk, since it's within 24 hours of the meat, it will make the meat aser. I'm sorry, the milk aser. If I used it for more meat, so then it won't make it aser b'diyevet. What happens if I use it again on Tuesday night? So Tuesday night will be mutter b'diyevet with anything, even for milk. Okay, it's a simple din.